I remember the first time I walked through the big glass doors of the Nicole Brown Foundation. Actually, it was called the Nicole Brown Simpson Charitable Foundation at that time. I walked in and met Lou Brown for the first time. He was the first member of the Brown family that I had the pleasure to meet. He was a very gracious man and very kind, and we took a liking to each other. I think it was because of the fact that I came and told him that information about what OJ did to my sister, that he appreciated me. And even though they didn't get the kids in the trial, they still went in there with what they wanted to go in there with. So I was always happy to know that I was the one that took them that information and didn't keep that a secret, right? Like my sister tried to get me to do. So it was a nice office, you know, nice furniture. It was a big place for a foundation, you know, and Lou had his own office back there, and it was fixed up nice. And I'd walk in, he'd be glad to see me. And, you know, every time I go in to see him, he'd be glad to see me. And that was every time I checked my mail, you know, my P.O. box, I'd go there to the post office and jaywalk across Coast Highway and visit with Lou Brown. And we just sit there and shoot the shit. We talk about all kinds of things. And unfortunately, I can't remember anything that we talked about that was 20 years ago. But, you know, I would try to suggest to Lou about doing some artistic things, you know, with the cause, and he wasn't feeling it. Excuse me. He wasn't feeling it. He just didn't have the concept in his mind to do something artistic. So it just had never happened with Lou. We just were always friends. I'd visit with him all the time. And then when he retired, Denise took over the foundation. And it was at Lou's retirement party that I met Denise Brown for the first time. That was a nice party, too. And she walked in with a, you know, leopard jacket on, her short hair and no makeup. And she actually kind of scared the shit out of me because it wasn't just the no makeup and the short hair. It was just because of the fact that I'd seen her go through all that tragedy and trauma and drama, and the people like that are somewhat intimidating when you meet them because you don't know what to say to them. You don't know how to let them know how you feel. So, but she took the, I remember she took the tension out of the air and say, hey, so I guess you come with the building. I said, I sure do. And that's when me and Denise met and we started to work together. And, I'd go down to their foundation and change things, like their business card was black and white, I changed it to color, their website was black and white, I changed it to color, brought their look up to the times that they were in, and it was fun, and I learned a lot. I learned how to help people. I dealt with a lot of people that had tragic issues in their lives, and they were trying to heal from it. And I learned that I had a lot of, you know, emotion for that, especially being an artist. So I could apply my art in ways that would help them to heal. And I recall, you know, like playing songs for Denise, like Heart and Soul. I remember the first time I played it for her. And remember Heart and Soul was the song that we were recording when I found out about OJ exposing himself to my sister. And she would go, oh, it's so beautiful. And it ended up to be Nicole's memorial song. We played it at every single one of Nicole's candlelight vigils on June 12th. I remember when we wrote Flame, me and Jonathan Moffitt, we recorded it. And we wrote that for Nicole and the victims of Columbine. And I played it for Denise and she goes, oh, it's just so beautiful. And she used it. We played that music. She used my music in her cause. And, you know, that's what I was praying for on top of the hill was purpose. And this had purpose dripping all over it. It was just dripping with purpose. So I just dove in, and that's when Nicole became my angel. She became my first angel because I'd see her face all the time from working on her projects and their events. Nicole's face was on my computer every day, every single day. So she became my first angel, and I hung her face, her beautiful face, up on my angel wall, which is right above my shrine. And that's how Nicole became my angel. And it's funny because 10 years later, my mom died. My mom was a big supporter in what I was doing with the foundation. She used to always tell me, James, I'm really proud of you for what you're doing with Denise and the work that you're doing with that foundation. That's really cool of you. Something like that, she said. And so when my mother died, it came to, I would have never found this out until she died, but when she died on the 19th. She was born on the 19th and died on the 12th, and Nicole was born on the 19th and died on the 12th. And I thought that was kind of angelic, you know, that my supporter, my angel, my second angel, she turned out to be, and my number one angel because, well, she's my mother. That her and Nicole were born and died on the same date. Different months, but the same date. Those numbers again. There are those numbers again. They're always popping up. And that's pretty much my angel story. I've dealt with a lot of being in that foundation. I've dealt with a lot of, or experienced a lot of people dying, you know. And I started an angel wall. But hang their pictures up on the wall, along with relatives and friends. And I guess that's why I started the Flock of Angels, because there was angels everywhere around me. So in 1999 is when I founded the Flock of Angels as a sister organization to the Nicole Brown Foundation. I just had another memory. I remember when Denise got there, one of the first things she did was scrape Simpson off the door. And I was there helping her scrape Simpson off of the door of the foundation. Cool things like that. And there's more cool things that happened with the Browns and I. And as I tell this story, I'm sure they'll come back to me. Right now, I just wanted to get to the angel, get through the angel part. You understand my angels. The Flock of Angels, check it out, flockofangels.org. And it's turned into something else. It's evolving. And so have I. But this purpose, even though I don't work with the Browns anymore, the purpose that I developed while working with them is still very much active and very much important to me. And I continue on with that work.